This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is Thursday today. It is episode 77. It's been a good week. I'm just about 10 volts short of being 110 because I have been practicing for a presentation that I'm going to do on Monday, a concluding presentation on this big project I've been working on with the business process investigation. And I've been going over and over and over to the presentation so that, you know, I have it well in hand for Monday. I think it was Winston Churchill of whom it was said, "Never did a man practice so hard to give a spontaneous speech or prepare so hard to give a spontaneous speech." And that's kind of my philosophy too. You know, I like when I'm doing some kind of a presentation. People obviously know that it's not spontaneous, but I want them to kind of feel like it's spontaneous, that I'm just talking. And so in order to accomplish that, you have to do a lot of prep work. But I think I am squared away and that prep work is in place so that I am good. Anyway, so that's going along fine. My presentation is actually a wee bit early. I expected it to be one more week before I needed to give the presentation, but I think everything's going to work out just fine. It was the day that we could put everybody in the room, so, you know, if it's the day you can put everybody in the room, you just do it. I did hop on lulu.com real quick and put together the documents and just slap the cover on them, even though they were rough, and I'm hoping to have those in tomorrow or at the latest Monday so that I can use them as a visual aid. We'll see if that actually occurs. I'm hoping. I paid extra for that to occur, so I'm really hoping it occurs. We will see. Anyway, so that goes along well. I am going to see my daughter tonight. Knit Central is back on board, and we are releasing knits one a day again. I've been posting on my Facebook page about the current knit for the day, and in fact, I didn't do that this morning. I have to do that. Maybe I'll do that real quick when I get home. In other news, in the Super Secret Project, we are coming to a boundary point. But we'll probably talk about that in the weeks to come, since we are just chatting about this. Ambulance coming by. You may hear it. Anyway, I think where we left off last week is we were talking about ambulance. Yes, it's coming, and going. Okay. Bummer for those people that had a green light. Because now they're going to have to sit through another series. Anyway, so last week we had talked about being careful with your money, not being afraid to spend money when you needed to spend money, but also making sure there are some constraints in place. So when you lay down your dollars, you know you're getting good value for those dollars. So I had purchased Autodesk Inventor. I had rented the printer. Now it was time. I had already done some preliminary work. I had decided, okay, we're going to go simple. So now let's get busy. And so in the evenings, I would just go home and I would do one, test it, look at it. Part of that whole process is you can expect it to be, at least for me, a very iterative process. And, you know, what's amazing to me is how many times you can go through and you can be working on a product, and yet as you're looking at it, playing with it, you can still come up with new things where you can say, yeah, that's not quite right. I need to do something different. So the initial product was not tilted back quite as far, and then I tilted it back, and then it got all out of balance, and then I had to rebalance it, and then it wasn't balanced quite enough, so I had to rebalance again. And I mean, I've gone through all of these iterations with this. Simultaneously, I have been focused on how do I establish a price point. Your price point is very important, and there's a little bit of voodoo involved. You know, it certainly helps to look and see what other kind of products are out there in the market and, you know, try to find a price point for it. As I said when I initially started this, I couldn't find any other products in the market. as it turns out, I did. But in the initial part of it, you know, you're really just trying to say, what is this going to be worth to people? And so when I'd show it to people, I'd say, so what do you think? $15, $19, you know, $25? Try to get some feel for people as to what they would be willing to pay. While I'm doing that, of course, I have to figure out how much is it actually going to cost me to produce this product. And of course, that's a wild card when you're dealing with plastic injection molding, because the cost of the mold is the huge expense. But before I could really get a cost of a mold in place, I needed a stabilized design. And I also needed to know cost on parts, because it's not just the plastic part for this particular design. It's going to have a couple of mirrors. I had decided on acrylic mirrors early on because they're nearly indestructible in terms of breakage and splintering, although they do scratch. There's always trade-offs. So, of course, you have to get started with that process. Who's going to do the mirrors? So I got in touch with a manufacturer, because originally I was going to use something called PETG mirrored, because the great thing about PETG is you can actually do die stamping, so you can do them fast. And I had contacted the company, talked to them, was very honest with them, said, look, I've never done anything like this before. I've been a consultant for many, many years. I got this crazy little idea. I'm pursuing it. Any help you could give me would be great. This is what I need. The guy said, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. So I sent him the information, and they got me a price. It was a very good price. And I kept that and was going to go with that for a while. But then as I got closer to actually having a finalized design, I kept thinking about one part of that, and one part of it was that it would take them 4 to 6 weeks to get me product, and I was thinking, well, 4 to 6 weeks for resupply, eek. What I didn't know at the time was that the PETG mirror is a specialty item. So as I was getting closer, I really felt a nudge, and that's always important when you're in the middle of these projects to listen to those little hints and nudges and whispers. Felt a little nudge that I should go talk to one of my local plastics places. And so I just went down there, showed them what I was doing. I had the receptionist when I initially called. She said, well, do you just want to talk to a salesperson? I said, well, if it's all the same to you, I'd just as soon come down. Because you see, I'm calling out of the blue. They don't know me from nothing. They're going to be busy. I'm a little dry because I've been talking all afternoon. I'm going to grab a bottle of water. They're busy, and they're talking to their people who are giving them real business all day long. And so if you just call down there from nothing, they're going to go, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And so he was in town, they were in town, I thought, well, all the better. I'm just going to walk down there and look them in the eye face to face. Because you try to be charming, you try to show them that, yeah, I really am serious about this. And so I took the product down to them, I took the little model down to them, and I showed it to them. I said, hey, see, this is cool, blah, 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 blah. Told them the type of thing I was looking for. I had been able to get some PETG samples from the factory, and so I had those in, kind of described what I was looking for, asking for some prices. Someone's waving and telling all the cars to stop, some young person. I don't think that's going to happen. But anyways, because it doesn't look like there's anything to stop for. He just wanted to see how many cars he could make stop. So I asked them to get me a price. They didn't get me a price. Week went by. So, okay, you don't get mad. You don't get upset. You just call them again. Hey, how are you? Say, I was looking for that price. Still didn't get me. Then you visit them again. I mean, don't be discouraged when you can't get people to cooperate with you. You're new. They don't know who you are. You're not a big customer. They're busy. Understand they're busy. Don't be mad. As I was going down to talk to them, like the third time, I had this little whisper that, you know, you should really talk to them about using something other than this PETG mirror, because it might be a specialty item and they don't have it. Okay, so the guy walks out. He says, yeah, sorry. We've been trying to get some prices on that PETG mirror stuff. He said, we don't stock that. And I said, oh, fine, no problem. What do you stock? Well, we stock 1/8-inch acrylic mirror. I said, great, why don't we just do some prices on that? Oh, okay. So then he got me prices. Okay, see, it's just another ambulance going by. Because you want to work with them. You want to create an environment of success for them. Now, here's the next thing that's interesting. After I did that, get another drink of water. He says to me, he says, well, who's going to shoot your plastic for you? And I said, I don't know. I said, actually, I'm looking for a plastics injection molder. I had some leads that I was looking at potentially, but I didn't have anybody locally. And I told him, I said, personally, I'd like to use someone locally because I can look them in the eye, shake their hand. You know, if I can keep the money in the local community, great. And I don't have to pay for shipping of parts. He said, yeah, absolutely. He said, well, there's a guy down the street. His name's Bob. Oh, okay, great. Southwest Injection Molding. You should go talk to him. Okay, great. So I think, hey, you know, had a little nudge to come down here. Now they're nudging me a different direction. So I go down there, start talking to Bob. I like Bob. Immediately, I like Bob. Bob, you know, some of his fingers have obviously gotten caught in some machines. You know, he's got some fingernails that are pretty beat up. He handed me his business card. His business card was extremely basic, and he had probably done it himself. And I thought, you know, this is the guy I want. I do not need a graphics designer. I need a plastic injection molder guy. And Bob knows his stuff. So, of course, one of the first things I asked Bob, I show him the thing. I said, okay, ballpark numbers. What do you think for pricing? And at that time, he said, well, you know, just ballpark, maybe $12,000 for a mold. Now, I'd already done enough research that $12,000 for a mold sounded pretty good. I went, oh, is that hardened steel? He said, yeah, hardened steel. Oh, hey, cool. Okay, great. So I left him one to kind of play with a little bit, kept in touch with him. As I was finishing up, continued to keep in touch with him. Now I have a resource. Okay, and I have someone who knows plastic injection molding, and I have lots of questions. So the next thing I did is I called up Bob. And I said, Bob, I've got all kinds of questions. I would like to buy an hour of your time. I would just like to pay you for an hour of your time. Because I have questions. I'd like to show you what I'm doing, and I was wondering if you could just kind of... And he said, well, yeah, that's no problem. Because I had the new software. I had the Autodesk Inventor software. And I said, I'd just like to show you that, and maybe I could bring down my software, and we could see if I could export it straight out of my stuff right into your stuff. Because he had told me, yeah, you just need to get me a drawing, and I'll do it. And what that told me is that he was going to do it by hand. And I thought, you know, it'd probably be better if we could do a data-to-data transfer. And because I would just wanted to do a data-to-data transfer, and because I needed extra information, I just called him up and I said, can I buy an hour of your time? Not, can I just come down there and ask you a bunch of questions? Because I know you don't have anything else to do besides just answering my questions. Okay, don't treat people like that. Don't do that. Respect their time. And just say, can I buy an hour of your time? And make it an hour. And he said, well, no. He said, if you're going to bring, you know, software down, we're going to try to do that. He said, just come on down. He said, yeah, let's get together. Let's talk. Okay, great. So now then, now I can go down. And we did figure out how to get it transferred directly. Plus, it gave me a chance to say, okay, is this a problem? Is that a problem? I've read all this stuff on the internet. I don't know what I'm doing. And I admitted to that. Right up front, don't pretend that you know how you're doing if you don't know what you're doing. I said, Bob, I've never done this before. I'm completely in the dark about how some of these things work. All I do is I go in and read on the internet. And I found out a lot of things are said on the internet. Bob said, yeah, some of that stuff, it's not. And I learned a ton of stuff. And it was free. Because I offered to pay him, he understood I respected his time, he did have some extra time, he was willing to share it with me, and I was only down there for an hour. Okay, so I tell him it's going to be an hour, it's an hour. All right, so we're going along a little farther. And we're getting really close to what I feel like, okay, this, yeah, we're in the saddle here. Let's do the thing. So I take it down, and now we're getting ready to do the mold. And Autodesk Inventor 11 actually has a mold builder in it. And so I called up Bob because I didn't know if that would be useful to him because I don't know how he works. But I said, you know, this has got like a mold builder in it. Are you interested in seeing that at all? Because if you are, I'll just haul my equipment down there. Well, yeah, that might be interesting. I said, well, great. So in the meantime, I'm working on another version of this whole thing that is going to be the product afterwards. And so I get to take down there and I ask him more questions because I'm offering him something of value. See, I give value and I get value. It's a win-win situation. But I'm only down there for an hour. See, that's the key. Well, actually, in that case, I was down there for longer than an hour because I had some things to do and I gave him the option of me bailing out. I said, or I can just keep staying working on this and you can go do something else. He said, no, I can go over there. He said, why don't you finish up? Okay, great. So eventually we arrived at a design and then he got me a price that actually came in a little higher than that. I was expecting it though because of the new designs, you know. So came in, I think, at $15,800. So now I can start to put together pricing. All right, so because I know what the mold cost is going to be. I know what it's going to cost for me to shoot it. I know what the mirrors are going to cost. At the same time, one of the times I was down at the plastics place, I said, okay, who does, you know, since that worked out so well, them recommending Bob, who does containers around here? And they said, oh, Southwest Container does down there. Oh, okay. So I go down and talk to Southwest Containers. They're putting together some examples for me, which I need to call them tomorrow and see how they're doing because I haven't heard from them yet. They're putting together some containers for me and some samples. Got prices on that. So now I've got prices on the container. I've got prices on the product. I've got prices on the mirrors. I'll have some miscellaneous costs like stickers. I'm going to have to put some stickers on to let people know, okay, there's a plastic film on these mirrors. You need to peel that off gently before you actually use it. Things, little things like that. Sticker cost, I'm not overly concerned with. That's probably pretty cheap, although I do need to check on that. Now that I've got all these prices together, now I can actually start forming up a price. What am I going to charge for this? How am I going to incentivize people to buy this? In other words, I need to start thinking about marketing too, because no product sells itself. We all would like to think that a product sells itself, but products don't sell themselves. You have to market them. So all of this is going on simultaneously, and I'm trying to work out what is going to be the angle. What is it about this product that will make people be interested in buying it? And the initial thing that started me on this project was self-portraits. People having to turn their camera around and take a picture and then see if it's okay and then turn around, turn back and forth. You know, but as I would talk to people my age, they would say, well, yeah, I don't really take that many self-portraits of myself, but young people do. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe my market's young people. But then the more we got into it, we played with it, I'm thinking, well, maybe my market's young people, but you really have to figure this out. You know, before you get too far and you start really laying down a lot of money, you really need to figure this out and figure out how the people with money are actually going to spend money on your product. Now, I don't know at the end of all this if people actually will, but at least I think about these things. So you got to kind of, is it even possible to produce the product? How much can you produce it for? And will people spend that amount of money for it? Why? And so in the process of doing all that, I started investigating all the potentials. Okay, well, there's self-portraits. Okay, great. Great, self-portraits. We knew about that. Maybe the market there. Probably is. Yeah, maybe. There's video blogging. Yeah, okay. That would be good for video blogging. But that's not really that great of a market. It's about this same time that I'm getting my mail. It's about this same time that the iPhone is announced. Hey, my Brilliant Eyes came in. Brilliant Eyes is a little thing that is used to clean acrylic mirrors. And I am going to go ahead and throw in a packet of Brilliant Eyes for free into everything so that when people peel off the acrylic protective film, they can just immediately then turn around and clean their mirrors. And it puts like an anti-static film on it and keeps it from getting quite so dusty. And so that'll make it nice. They are like 50 cents a packet is what it's going to cost me to throw those in. But it's one of those nice little touches. And it's nice when you get a product, you know, and you have a little extra thing. It's like, hey, they gave me an extra thing. So that's going to be one of my extra little things that we're going to put in there. So anyways, about the same time that I'm trying to figure out this whole thing of what is it going to cost, who am I going to work with, blah, 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 all the sort of in that flow, I'm back into my garage. The iPhone is announced. And it's no big surprise, the iPhone 4, it's no big surprise. We all kind of understood that that was coming. And it has a front-facing camera on it. And FaceTime is announced. And now, all of a sudden, video calling is getting a whole lot more play. Video calling. How cool is video calling? And Apple's running ads for it. And some of my buddies go, oh, well, now there's an iPhone 4, and it's got a front-facing camera. What does that do? I said, I am pleased as punch about that. I think it's great. And they looked at me. I said, look, there's the situation. Everybody's looking at that new iPhone 4 and going, oh, video calling, front-facing camera. Oh, that's cool. Do all those people want to spend $200 to upgrade?
No.
Is Apple going to create an appetite for video calling?
Yes.
Okay. So now I have a huge company creating an appetite for video calling, and I have a product that can make a regular iPhone, not one with a front-facing camera, can make a regular Motorola Droid without a front-facing camera into a unit that you can do video calling with. So pretty quickly after that, I started focusing on, okay, is it video calling? Is that the killer app for me? Is that what I focus on? And does that then begin to change my marketing plans? Next week, we'll talk about the saga of where that led me and what you do when you start hitting what appear to be some setbacks. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.